I wonder what it is that you await this kind of year. I wonder what it is that you calculate. I wonder what it is that you anticipate in this season. Do you await the usual comings and goings of the Christmas time, the long lines, the people all scattered together in traffic to just go crazy for another season? Do you calculate what day that the Christmas day will come on and then try and calculate who's going to sleep with who, what church is going to, what church we're going to go to, what family members are going to go, what places? Do you anticipate a joyful season? My name is Keith Arkham, and I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor, and we are in week 2 of the Christian New Year. Yeah, this last week we talked about being awake and woken to Christ in this new season, and this week we are going to talk about anticipation. As a Christian, as a Jesus follower, we follow the Christian calendar. There's lots of other calendars to follow. There's the Jewish calendar, the Mayan calendar. There's the fiscal year calendar, the school calendar. But as followers of Jesus, we follow the Christian calendar. And this starts us in Advent. And as Jesus followers, we await the birth of Christ coming again. It resets us, it wakes us up to what's new and what Jesus is going to show us this year. As followers of Jesus, we calculate when the day that we celebrate it will be, and we arrange all of our lives around this, don't we? We arrange all of our lives when we can finally eat together. And then we anticipate, as Christians, we anticipate the last day, the final day when Jesus will return and heaven will come to earth. Amen? We incline our lives that way. We move our bodies in that direction. This is what we anticipate. I had the opportunity to see a lot of cities in my travels, and I love going to the cities. One of my favorite is Barcelona with the great Gothic temple right in the middle of the city center. Another is Alexandria with its diverse, Alexandria and Egypt with its diverse occupants and its dust everywhere and just people bumping into each other and bazaars and people selling things. Another is actually Jerusalem. I got to visit Jerusalem and see the actual streets that Jesus walked on. It is still a hustle and bustle of people and many people coming to that city to visit. And I feel privileged to have seen that. But if I always wanted to go to the city that never sleeps, the place where the bright lights inspire me, where concrete jungle, where things are made of course, you've guessed it, New York City. Like, yes, I'm going to get to go. I awaited this for a long time. My wife and I were preparing to go here. March 2015 was the first time, and I awaited this time with joy and expectancy. Got everything packed, got everything ready, and as I started typing in the aircraft and the hotel and all the songs and all the artists and all the songs that ever been sang about this particular city, you know, all the different musicians were coming to my head, you know, Frank Sinatra, Jay-Z, of course, and Taylor Swift, and all these songs just spinning around my head as I prepared myself to get to the city. I calculated when that would be, and I got my wife and my belongings ready and calculated when I would arrive there and what train I would get to the city. I anticipated the joy of being in the city. I anticipated being a part of those songs. I anticipated the smelly hot dog stands and the trash all lined up on the street. I couldn't wait to get there. The flight came in, of course, and we got the tram to where we were meant to go, and then got the tube, the underground to 6th Avenue, and we stepped out of the tubes, 2 o'clock in the morning, by the way. I don't normally do 2 o'clock in the morning, but when we got out at 2 o'clock in the morning, when I stepped out of the tube, stepped out of the subway, the streets were like bouncing with people. The pavement and the sidewalk was bouncing with people. It was just 2 o'clock in the morning. So my wife and I put our things into the hotel, and we thought, well, we're right near Times Square. It's kind of bright. And so we walked down to Times Square. This time's about 3 o'clock in the morning. And there, sure enough, with 161 kilowatts of light were beaming at us. And there was a screen, which is 125,000 square foot, saying, hey, get a new cell phone. 330,000 people pass through this place every day. And the floor was bouncing, and I could hear all sorts of different languages coming as I passed people. People of all sorts of different colors and different tribes and different clothing, and it was so exciting. And it didn't fail to deliver. Of course, apart from the trash on the streets, you know. What is it that you await this time of year? What is it that you calculate for? What is it that you anticipate in this season? John was the last apostle to be left on earth. And John, as a good Jew who now followed Jesus, today we call them Messianic Jews, this Jew had prepared his life, all his life, to incline his life towards the resurrection, to the day when the great resurrection would come and heaven would come to earth and he would experience heaven. But he was the last one left on Patmos. And whilst he was on Patmos in Greece, he had a vision. He had a revelation. And the scripture that was read to you today at the candles is the scripture that we're going to focus on and what he seen on this particular island. And we're going to go there. We're going to go to Revelation 21. If you're online, just open another tab there. Revelation 21. If you're reading from an old-fashioned book, all the way at the back, Revelation chapter 21, almost till the very end. This is John now, and this is what he's... It's important as well, when we're reading Revelation, you remember the word like. John always says, I seen what was like. Here we go, verse 1 of chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. So John, anticipating this all his life, now seen a vision of heaven coming to earth. The great marriage is finally coming. And he's seen a cube, 144,000 square feet. So like a box in the sky. And he's seen it descending down to the earth. And he was always expecting this to happen, but never before was he thinking he'd have a vision of what this would look like. So the old heaven and the old earth has passed away. And it says, if you look down it, it says, and the sea was gone. Which I think is kind of sad if you're a fisherman or a sailor, right? But the Hebrew understanding of the sea was that it was uncontrollable and unfathomable, and it was considered chaos. The Hebrews did not want chaos it coming down out of the sky and for it to be the new heaven and new earth. And John knew this. He knew this in the depths of his heart, and he knew that this is the kind of heaven they was depicting and angling his life towards. And he's seen this heaven. Now, some of you might have heard from different people that one day, when heaven comes to earth, or when we are restored to heaven, we will go back to be in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve were, sitting on our Adirondack chairs with our feet up, drinking sweet tea. Or unsweet tea, depending on what you like. Now, if you read in the scripture here, what does John say? John said he's seen a... And the last service, they said it. Ready? In John's scripture, what he said he's seen a city. A city. He's seen a city coming down out of heaven. And he's seen this city because in a city with lots of people, the streets are kind of bouncing with people. And there's thousands of people walking through it. 330,000 people with all sorts of different dialects and different colors and different understandings. He says, I've seen a city coming down from heaven. Not a garden, a city. He says, this is the kind of city that will be restored to earth. And also, it's beautiful. In our text, in this translation, it says the city is beautiful. In other translations, it says she was adorned. And that word for adored there is cosmeo, which is where we get our English word cosmetics. You guys are paying attention this morning. This is great. She was beautifully adorned. The city was beautifully adorned. It looks so beautiful. It was coming down from the sky. And I was expecting it. I was anticipating. I was calculating when that was come. Some people spend a lot of time calculating when that will come. Some people have depicted it over years that it'll come tomorrow, or it'll be coming 2012, or it'll be coming 2018. John had a vision as when that would happen. John seen it, what it would look like, but not when it would happen. Then he says in verse 3, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. So not only will we be with God, we'll hear his voice. I don't know many people who don't want God to be with them. You think of your neighbors, think about those people that you know in your workplace. Most people would like God to dwell with them. Most people would like to be them in their struggles, in their anxieties, in their trials. Most people would like some comfort from God and to know that God is with them. And the Hebrews are no different. The Hebrews always wanted God to be with them. When they were wandering through the desert and they were thirsty and hungry, they said, God, come and dwell with us. Give us a sign. Show us that we can meet with you and dwell with you. And they created the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle is where God would dwell, and he would dwell behind the Holy of Holies, behind the curtain. In fact, the tabernacle was decorated just like this city is explained in the rest of chapter 21 of Revelation that we're reading. And it was adorned and set up in the same way with 12 jewels and 12 stones and 12 colors. And God dwelled with them there in the desert. And when they arrived at the new city, at the new Jerusalem, when they arrived at the place that God was preparing for them, the land of milk and honey, they said, God, come and dwell with us again. We've got rid of the tabernacle now. We're ready for you to dwell. And so they built a temple. And the temple was set up just like the tabernacle, the tent. And God dwelled behind the veil, behind the curtain. And God dwelled with them there. And then Jesus came along and tore the curtain, his life and death and resurrection, tore that curtain apart. And he says, now if you follow me, now if you believe in me, if you ask me to fill your life, I will reside with you. And each and every person here who has decided to follow Jesus has the same Holy Spirit dwelling in them as we all do. In fact, when we get together and all of us with the bits of the Holy Spirit in us get together, we feel more of the presence of God, which is why next week I want you to just move a little closer so we feel more of the presence of God. Amen? When we get together, the presence of God which is in us reverberates and helps us to see more of God, helps us to sing, helps us to feel a presence, helps us to dwell with God. And when we get to heaven, we will know the presence of God so much more. And we'll hear the resounding voice of God, he says. You'll hear the resounding voice. You'll hear the Father, God the Father. You'll hear Jesus the Son. You'll hear the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, all at one time. In fact, the ancients had a better word for the three. They called it thou. You'll hear the voice of thou. Thou art God. And the voice will help us feel present with him. Later on, he describes this city to be a place that doesn't have 161 megawatts of light coming out of it, that doesn't have an electricity bill, it doesn't have a temple, it doesn't even have any big commercials saying, hey, God's over here. It's just his presence, and his presence illumines the city. And everybody is welcome in this city. All who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ are welcome in this city. He says, you're going to hear the voice of God. You're going to hear it so well. And they will be his people. It says people in here. Peoples is the way to translate it. All of the peoples. And God himself will be with them. Verse 4 says some of the characteristics, what will be present there? What will we do there? Will we sip on iced tea? Will we sit in our Areondak chair? What will be the characteristics of heaven when it comes down to earth? When the earth is restored and heaven is here on earth? He said, here's what happens. He says that I will wipe every tear away from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Amen? That means no more split politics. That means no more us versus them. That means no more messed up churches. That means no more pain and suffering, no racism. That means no more child slavery. That means no more sexism. That means no more anything, no pain or anything. Our lives will be spent worshiping God. Our lives will not know pain anymore. Are you looking forward to that? Everything, he says, everything I will make new. Everything. That means no matter who is in this city, no matter who is in this place, there's entrance for everybody. In fact, he goes on to say that there's 12 of everything in this city. He says there's 12 gates, there's 12 angels, 12 tribes, 12 foundation stones, 12 apostles of the faith, and 12 gates. A symbol of perfection. All are welcome in. It's going to be really noisy there, people. And when you walk into this city, to this heaven, in the last service, someone came up to me and was like, I have a major problem you just said. I think it's going to be a garden. John says it's going to be a city, and the streets are going to be bouncing with people, and you're going to everybody's dialect and all the different languages and all the different peoples there. You're going to be so amazed at how amazing it is to be there. And we incline our lives toward this. We incline our lives towards the last day. We await this great event happening. We calculate our lives and orientate them around this event. We anticipate this day coming. And that's what Advent is about. We want for that to come. Like John longed for it, we want that to come too. We want that to come as well. Verse 5, he says, and the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. This is the 12th time in this revelation, this book, that God has said, write this down. It's the 12th time he said to him, hey, this, you're writing this down because it's trustworthy and true. It's trustworthy because Jesus lived a life that pointed towards this direction. It's trustworthy because he actually led a life that he said what he was going to do. He died on the cross and he rose again and was resurrected. It's true because God, Yahweh, has always been true. He said, write this down. What is it that you are writing down? What are you awaiting? What are you calculating? What are you anticipating in your life this Advent season? He says, to all who are thirsty, to all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of life. What is it you await? What is it that you calculate? We calculate how to fit right into this place. In fact, we incline our lives and anticipate our lives so that when heaven does come, we'll just step right in and rejoice. And even if you die and you pass while you're here and you're living in the Lord, that's okay because you're going to be resurrected on the last day and be with Jesus in the city, amen? You see, God has always wanted to dwell with us. In the desert, he dwelled with us in the tabernacle. In the Jerusalem, in the city, was family we're adopted into. He dwelled with us in the temple. When Jesus came, he says, I'm going to dwell within each and every one heart who decides to call upon me as their Savior. And now he wants to dwell with us in the heavenly realms. Do you want to dwell with God? Do you want to dwell with God? Because today we are going to practice how Jesus says we are to dwell with him. You see, when we anticipate our last day, Jesus comes and meets with us. And we do that today through communion. We do it today through coming to the tables that are around the room here. If you're online, just get some juice and bread and join with us. But Jesus, on his last day before he was crucified, was in the upper room. He says, yeah, I want to dwell with you. I want to be with you. I want you to remember what happened here. And he says, this is my bread, my body. He was taking it from the meal and he broke it and he passed it around each of the disciples that were in the room. And he says, and remember me, this is my body broken for you. And they passed it around after the meal was over. And the same thing with the wine back then. He took the wine and he passed it around. His disciples said, this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many. Do this in remembrance of me and I'll dwell with you. And I'll dwell with you when you do this. And we're going to take communion here today. We're going to be together and participate in this communion together, and Pastor Kathy is going to give us some instructions how that will happen.
The table of the Lord is open to all. You are all invited and all welcome. There are four stations around the sanctuary, and we have servers who will be serving you at each station. They will be wearing gloves and masks. And please remember to be social distance as best you can, and receive the bread. Receive the cup and move to the side and take it, and then there are trash cans provided for you for the cups. If you are unable to receive, please just raise your hand and we will bring the elements to you. Please have a spirit of prayer as all are being served.
So come to the table. Come to the table desiring to dwell with God because he wants to dwell with you today. He wants to be amidst you. Let's pray together. Holy and gracious God, come to us today. Pour out your Spirit on us and those gathered here and those gathered online. Pour out your Spirit on us and on these elements, these basic elements of bread and juice. Fill them with your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit so that we might go from here knowing that you are with us in everything that we do. Thank you, Lord. As we anticipate this, you want to meet with us. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, we pray. Come, meet us at the table. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.